Welcome again to the Ted Brewer Show. This is Thursday, November the 19th, 2015. I hope you enjoy that music. I tell you what, The Last of Mohicans is where that song is from. That's a Scottish folk song. That's one of my favorite songs of all time and one of my favorite movies of all time. And I know every once in a while I digress and I talk about my theme music. But I tell you what, I really like that mood, that music. It's got such a wonderful mood to it. Now, I want to make an announcement real quick since we're live today. And you guys forgive me because I was going to be live Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. But I got so negged out after that false flag in Paris on Friday night, and we reported on Sunday night, that I just had to take a break for 3 days because it was just so negative. The energy from that was so bad and so debilitating to me personally that I had to get away from the whole news story about that. Now, I know you're not supposed to hear a news anchor. That's, I guess I'm kind of a news anchor on my own show anyhow, say that kind of stuff, but that's what it was. I was just so yucked out. So I thought, you know what? We covered a lot of really good information on Hagmann last week, and so I'm going to go ahead and play those three shows for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. So I hope you enjoyed them. Now, today we're live. Tomorrow, Austin will be running solo again, and you guys have been so kind. And I know Austin's almost as good as me, and I know he sounds like me, and I know that he's going to be, you know, the major impact of my show in 20 years from now. I got that, but by, of course, by then it'll probably be the Austin Bro Show, so I'm okay with that too. But the point is, you know, on Friday night, tomorrow night, I need you guys. This is going to be November the 20th, Friday night, Hagmann and Hagmann, 3 hours live, Ted Brewer. And I'm going to be talking about the blood of Jesus, the first hour. Now, for a lot of you guys who aren't Christians, you probably say, well, what do I care about the blood of Jesus? Well, I've got to ask you a question real quick. You know, we all know the entire calendar got changed, you know, 2,000 years ago upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We got that, okay, about his, on his birth. We also know that he died on a cross. Have you ever wondered why his blood had to be spilled? I'm talking about why. Because why wasn't he strangled? Why wasn't he poisoned? Why wasn't he starved to death? Why wasn't he denied water? I mean, they could have killed him in a multiple variety of ways, and they didn't do it. They bled him out. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to discuss in detail, from a biophysics standpoint, what happens with cellular DNA. I'm going to go into detail on why they did that. This was like a download from the Holy Spirit yesterday morning when I was in prayer, because this has been so difficult for me to try to understand, because it seemed so barbaric. And I understood that the crucifixion is what the Romans did at the time, but I knew there were other ways to accomplish the same end results. And so I couldn't figure out why this had to be done this way. But tomorrow night we're going to talk about it. It goes back out to Cain and Abel. It goes all the way back. It goes back to Cain and Abel in the book of Hebrews. We're going to take about 10 minutes and do some scripture study with you guys tomorrow night, just to give you a brief overview, not to do an exhaustive study in the book of Genesis or in the book of Hebrews, but it's going to be tomorrow night. And then I'm going to go into the plasma physics of the blood and what it does and how it's used and why Jesus spilled his blood and what happens when he did that. It's going to blow your mind. It is crazy stuff. I mean, I started writing yesterday after my prayer and kept writing and writing page after page. And finally I thought, wow. And then I had to come back in and clean it up to make it more understandable. So it's pretty good now. I really liked what the Holy Spirit did and how he showed me what he wanted me to write down. And it's amazing. So it was like a direct download from the 13th dimension to me yesterday. I've never heard this anywhere else, and now either you're going to think I'm completely insane or the smartest person you've ever heard, but it's not me, guys. This is the Holy Spirit. This wasn't me who wrote this, so it's one of those deals. So take with what you want to take with it out of it tomorrow. The second hour, we're going to be talking about sound and frequency in inner dimensions. The third hour, we're going to be talking about chemtrails, Morgellons, scalar waves, what's going on with HAARP, how they use HAARP, how HAARP actually works. Now, I've broken down the physics into easily understandable tidbits. This is going to blow your mind. I'm going to talk to you about how thoughts are incredibly powerful things and how we've talked about that repeatedly and how what they really are in the physics world and how they can be measured. So tomorrow night, 3 hours, Hagmann and Hagmann, it's going to be a blowaway show. Next week, that same show is going to be aired on Wednesday, Thursday for Thanksgiving, and Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the Hagmann show that we're doing tomorrow night will be on this show for 3 hours. It will be taped over the holidays, so hopefully you can join me again on the Hagmann show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I hope you don't mind me doing that, but it requires so much energy to put into the Hagmann show to do these shows. I hate just getting one airing out of them. with Hagman, though he has a huge audience. I really like using them again on my show, and that way I don't have to go over the same material multiple times and kind of forget which ones I talked about on what show. I can make sure I maintain the consistency and the unity. Austin, what do you think about the show tomorrow night?
It's pretty exciting. It's definitely going to be an awesome show. I know you've been prepping and researching. Doing all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know, it's so funny. After I had written it all down yesterday, before I even cleaned it up, I called Austin up and I said, "Austin, you got to listen to this." And I read it to you, and it's pretty cutting edge. It'll put some chill bumps up and down your spine, and what it'll do. It's unbelievable what God did for us and how He did it from a physics standpoint. And since we're in this big mathematical model called the universe, it's amazing how it works and what He's done. And that's not to take away the blood of Jesus or the cross or the forgiveness of sins or His sacrifice. It has nothing to do with any of that. What it does, it explains it from a very understandable standpoint about why you need to be a Christian and why Christians have the edge and why all of these other religions go after Christians full throttle, why these Muslims run around with a freshly severed head of Christians and why Christians think that's never going to happen to them, and it happens to these people all the time in the Middle East. So it's interesting. What story you want to start with today? I got a bunch of them at my end.
Oh, yeah. Now, I got a couple of good ones here. First one, we were talking before we went on the show. USP Labs has basically been indicted under criminal charges now, and you were asking me about it, and I looked it up. USP Labs, if anybody knows about them, pretty big bodybuilding company. They made two products in the past that had huge sales. It was the Jack 3D and Oxy Elite. Both of those contain a compound known as DMAA, or 1-dimethylnanamine, and basically it ended up being linked to heart attacks, strokes, liver toxicity, and I had used the product before back when it was supposed to be pretty natural, and it was supposed to be pretty good, and I always noticed it made me extremely hostile after a couple hours after ingesting it. Real good workouts, real good pumps, but it definitely made me real aggressive, so it got banned in 2013. Well, now, I guess, charges are being filed again on USP, even though they took it out of the product, because apparently they had claimed that the DMAA, which was a plant-based at the time, they claimed, apparently they went back, and the FDA has been all over these guys since 2013, and they found from 2008 to 2013 that DMAA they were using was actually a synthetic based out of China. It was not an actual plant extract, and that they had actually sold over $400 million in gross sales of these two products over a period of 5 years. So they're in a little bit of a pickle right now after they got the flag from the FDA with the DMAA in 2013. Now we'll see how they bounce back from this. This is definitely going to be a serious issue, and we'll be watching it.
You know what's interesting to me, Austin, and this is just another one of the. And I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I remember one time you gave me a little tiny. You know, it's like a scoop to take pre-workout. I took like an eighth of a scoop. And it just absolutely messed with my head, messed with my attitude, messed with everything. But I had a great workout, okay? But I thought to myself, this thing is just weird what it does to your brain. I'm not using this again. So I used it that one time you gave me that jack, and I thought, I'm never doing that again. And plus, it had so much caffeine in it, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was loaded with caffeine. And I told you, I said, man, I can't take all that caffeine. It's too hard on the heart. But here's my axe to grind with all of this. Not that these guys weren't doing something wrong. I got no problem with that, okay? I've got that. I mean, that's kind of like one of those deals that's kind of self-explanatory. These guys were doing something wrong. They shouldn't have done what they did. I got that. But Prozac, Zoloft, statin drugs, fluoride, GMOs, I mean, glyphosate, all of it. I mean, Monsanto intentionally covered up death links and cancer links for the past 40 years in their internal research, showing that there's over 10 different types of cancers which have been directly linked to glyphosate and to Roundup. And not one person has been indicted. Not one person has had charges filed against them. The natural supplement company is getting slammed again. And all of these drug manufacturers that are owned by the Sabbatane, Frankens, Kabbalists, Luciferian, lowlife, weirdos, okay? They walk, they skate, nothing happens to them. It's like Hillary, the wicked witch of Washington, in her emails, getting disappearing, Benghazi, Fast and the Furious, nobody gets in trouble. Whereas if a normal citizen does anything, all of a sudden, bingo chingo, they're going to jail or they're being charged. It's the weirdest, most corrupt political agenda that I've ever seen in Washington. Not that what they did was right, but that these huge drug conglomerates can poison, cut, burn, do whatever they want to do, and do it with impunity, and lie. Lie repeatedly. It's the guys at Reynolds Tobacco who got in front of Congress in court and lied and swore that nicotine was not addictive. And I'm talking PhDs from some of the top universities, that nicotine was not addictive. I mean, it's complete and total nonsense. And not one of these guys went to jail for perjury. Not one of them got indicted, that they got fined and they had to pay fines. But they're putting these boys in jail. Somebody's going to jail from this company. So I want to know, what in the world is the big deal about why the FDA gets this crazy deal when they find out a supplement company has done something wrong, which they have, how these supplement companies then are indicted and placed in jail, and everybody else gets to skate, including glyphosate, all of the other drugs, and the statin drugs, which have been cloned, which have been shown to have caused cancer, and on and on and on. I mean, okay, this thing is rough on the heart. I got that, okay? We got that. What do you think statin drugs do? They cause skeletal muscle necrosis. They cause kidney failure. They cause cancer, and they know it, Austin, and nothing happens to them. Tell me why, Austin. Do you have any idea why?
Oh, the money.
That's right. That's right. Because the drug companies...
It always comes down to the money.
That's right. The drug companies are owned by the banks. The banks and the drug companies control the Food and Drug Administration. They do not want natural supplements on the market. They do not want nutritional supplements. They want vitamin E put on a prescription, vitamin A put on a prescription, potassium iodide put on a prescription, vitamin D3 on a prescription. So they can jack the price up 100 times of what we sell it for, and turn around and make these huge profits and continue the enslavement. These guys are so greedy. It's unbelievable. They already own the planet. They're worth, what, almost $250 billion, the Rothschilds are, and it's never enough. They want to push us down lower and lower and lower and lower until they basically have turned everybody into a slaves, and we're back into a feudal system. I mean, the greed of these international bankers, it's beyond the scope. See, this is what happens when you step away from Christianity. See, Jesus taught us that enough's enough. Don't be getting greedy. Don't do that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't be doing this. Don't be getting all caught up in the greed of these Sabbatean bankers. They never have enough. They're like a leech. They're like a fire. They never stop. And the sad part about it is, they run the planet. They run the entire cabal banking system. And we're going to discuss how they control the thought field and the intention field through what they do tomorrow night on the Hagman Show. It's going to blow your mind what I'm going to teach you about scalar waves and scalar principles. And I'm going to make it so easy. You're going to understand how HARP works and how thoughts work and all of this stuff and how they do this to us. Tomorrow night on that show, it's going to be a mind bender. It's going to be unbelievable tomorrow night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's your next story, Oz?
This one's pretty wild. I actually glanced over it. I didn't think much of it at first until I started reading it, and this one was pretty serious. It was stating how this week Greek police discovered rifles and ammo in shipment containers were marked as humanitarian aid for Syrian refugees in Greece.
That's right.
I was like, okay, let's look at this a little bit more. And I started reading down. Reportedly, the police found at least 2 full containers with stashed rifles and ammunition among 12 containers with furniture. Okay. Well, then it goes on. The Greek police found 5,000 rifles and at least 500,000 rounds of ammunition in 2 containers labeled as humanitarian aid intended for the migrants from Syria who arrived in the Greek migrant camps. Media speculation is basically that the humanitarian aid shipments are in other places in Europe now as well, if they've already gotten through. Now, the police are trying to identify who the sender was, but we have a pretty good idea who it was. It's funny because the boxes with ammo were labeled from U.S. production company Yavex, who's out of the United States. And it just, this is serious. I mean, you got to understand here, 5,000 rifles, you're averaging, you know, on a regular AR-15, good platform, you know, for a spike, $1,500 a rifle on average. You're talking about 7.5 million dollars in weapons in these containers, and about $200,000 to $250,000 in ammunition for them. This was not, you know, a pistol with a box of cartridges under a car seat. This was enough weapon and ammunition to start a small army. Obviously, that's what this was intended for. And what's crazy to me is that the ammo was from Yabex out of the United States. Now, I don't know if they were complicit in this. I know that they say no sales outside the United States on their website. But this is serious, especially if this wasn't the first container that got through. They don't even know how many of them could have gone through.
Well, you know, the craziest thing about all of this, you know, we've got Saudi and Qatar, all these different places in the Middle East that refuse to take any of these Syrian Muslims, but yet we import all of our weaponry to these different countries.
Yep.
You know, if we want these people to take these Syrian refugees, we just stop sending them arms and they'll start taking the Syrian refugees, and we don't have to mess with them. The sad part about it is that everybody wants to, the duplicity of all of this stuff, of the fact that the people in the United States don't even realize that it's the United States bombing of Syria through Qatar and the Mossad because of the pipeline, the gas pipeline that was supposed to run through Syria, which Syria said no, and we talked about this in detail on Sunday night, is what caused this civil war, because it's always about the money. And this is sad because, again, these guys, they're so greedy. These guys live in palaces, Austin, where they have to have golf carts on the inside of the palaces to drive them around. They're so big, and all the floors are all marble, all hand-laid marble. I mean, they have so much money over there from the oil and from the petrodollar and all the stuff they've done with the Rothschild banking community, that there's simply not enough words to describe the lifestyles they have. You and I both know, we were in Europe a few years ago, and we were doing a vacation over there, and we got to fly over there on free hotel on free miles and hotel points. It was all like a free vacation. It was wonderful. And I remember we went into the Westin in Munich, and the entire, like, four or five floors of the hotel were completely rented by these sheiks and these guys out of the Arab Emirates and the Saudis. And they brought their entire concubines with them and all their women with them, still dressed up with their veils on. And they basically rented out, you know, half the hotel. And
I mean, they had all their cars shipped over there too.
They had all their Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Rolls Royces all parked out in front of the hotel, right at the side of the hotel. And every day they had a guy coming out there and servicing and polishing all of the cars all day long. And I mean, we were there for like 2 days and we're like, wow, this is crazy. When you go up into the lounge there at the Westin, they had a free food lounge, and they had taken, and this is Germany, remember, they had taken all of the pork, which I agree with, all of the pork off all of the menus, off all of the free food in the lounge, because the Muslims had absolutely no pork to be served in their hotel while they're there, in their hotel. And you and I'm okay with the pork thing, because that's all part of the Old Testament dietary laws. I'm good with that. We shouldn't eat pork anyhow. And now the World Health Organization says that pork causes cancer, which I've been squawking about for 35 years, and God's been telling us for the past 3,000 years. Okay, so we said pork's bad. It's basically a septic tank that was here put by God to eat up all the fecal matter and rotting disease corpses and stuff that are laying around, not for human beings to eat. It's just a nasty, nasty mess. Remember, outside of Jerusalem, they had a big pit. Because remember, they didn't have running water then. You know, I mean, thousands of years ago, they didn't have plumbing, except for Rome. Rome had plumbing. Nobody else had plumbing. And, you know, and so basically they would have toilet, basically, buckets they would use the bathroom in. And they had this huge pit outside of Jerusalem. And they would throw all their feces and all the other stuff in there with the urine into this pit. I can't imagine the stench. And what they did is they put hogs down in there to eat this feces that was in this pit. And, you know, that's why the Jews and these people that took them, pigs were just this nasty, filthy, vile creature. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you know, I understand they're being raised and domesticated in the United States now, and people say, well, this is the other white meat. No, it's not. It's the other toxic meat. It's unbelievably bad for you. You should never eat pork. Bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, that's number one on my top 10 list of foods to never eat. That's had like over a million views now on YouTube. I mean, the reality is that, you know, these Saudis, at least they knew about the pork and keeping off that, but it was nuts to see how much money these people have, Austin. And remember, they had the big soccer tournament coming up a few months later in Germany, and they were throwing them all out because the hotel had been sold out for years in advance, and they were, and all the Saudis were having to go back, but it was so hot in Saudi Arabia, in that part of the country, in the summertime, they all wanted to be up in the in the Bavarian Alps, up in Munich. And so these guys have more money than I know, than I can, people can possibly imagine. But it's never enough, because remember, their greed is being manifested. They're Sabbatane handlers, and remember, the Arabs and the Jewish folks, they are not Christians. Okay, it's never enough. They don't have the Bible tells us that we're to be content with what we have. We're supposed to be able to be blessed with who we are, what we have in Christ Jesus. I mean, it repeatedly goes through the New Testament and tells you about that. It's better to give than to receive. I mean, that's an entirely different frequency of thought than these guys are raised in, Austin. I mean, and if people can't see that cultural difference, the Chinese are the same way. The Chinese are extremely greedy. When you get over in China, you try to do deals with them, they continually lie about stuff, but they're all talking about they're all Buddhists. Well, the whole thing about it is that the only religion that teaches this peace and all this other stuff and all of the love and everything else that we have is Christianity. Everything about Christianity is different. And that's one of the reasons these guys hate Christianity so badly, because they're telling you the truth. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, they do have an awful hatred towards us. Next one's interesting. Researchers now have now developed a vaccine to replace statin drugs.
Of course they have.
They're more effective than statin drugs at lowering LDL, according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of New Mexico and the National Institutes of Health, and published in the journal Vaccine. However, they have linked one variety of LDL to higher rates of cardiovascular disease, like we talked about before, how they always skew those. So they go in the article basically saying the new vaccine works by blocking the function of protein known as the PCSK9. This is the protein that binds to the receptor that removes the LDL cholesterol from the blood. Now, they've been saying here, it is unclear what the long-term health effects are of completely blocking PCSK9 might be, but they also yet to be shown that blocking that also lowers rates of heart disease or cardiovascular mortality, which they have no idea, because this has only been studied for like a year now. They said that FDA recently approved two separate drugs to interfere with that protein, but these drugs cost around $10,000 a year. The researchers in this new study of the vaccine are optimistic that their significantly cheaper vaccine will be more popular. And they go on to say the results of our vaccine were very striking, and it suggests it could be a very powerful new treatment for high cholesterol. And we've gone on repeated shows talking about cholesterol and how to fix it and what supplements to use, and we have it on the website as well. But it just shows you that there's never an end to this. It's just it's always something else they either want to inject you with or make you take. And it's kind of quite nauseating to me, actually, after a while, constantly reading about this.
I keep talking for a second. I think I turned his phone off.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the problem is the vaccine industry is, you know, a billion-dollar industry, and we know that they're putting massive amounts of aluminum in this stuff. They used to put thimerosal, which is mercury. So much negative publicity came out about that they finally started removing that, then they started adding aluminum to it. But the problem is, most people understand, is you don't need cholesterol medication. You especially don't need a vaccine for cholesterol. There's so many easy ways to do it, which is dietary changes, cardiovascular exercise, throw in some Cholesterol X, vascular relaxant, and cod liver oil, and you've got a perfect little protocol there to keep your cholesterol in check. Granted, you keep your diet within, you know, reasonable health.
You're exactly right, Austin. In fact, what's interesting about all of this is people need to realize is that, you know, if you're I feel like a broken record. And I know
that's every time I turn around, there's another article on this stuff.
Well, no, I know we've written articles on all of this stuff, and I literally have written dozens of articles on the website about how to maintain proper cardiovascular health. Cholesterol is not the problem. It's inflammation in the arteries. It's the biggest problem. It's all of these chemicals and these compounds and these bad oils that are causing so much of this. If your cholesterol is between 200 and 250, I myself and a whole bunch of other people think that, you know, it's great. If it's between 250 and 300, it's still okay. I'd probably bring it back down to 250 or under. If it's over 300, yeah, you need to make some dietary changes with the thing. But the cod liver oil, the vitamin E, the vascular relaxant, even sustained release niacin, there's all kinds of different things that you can do to bring it down. In fact, The show today, I almost forgot again. This is good. We're halfway through the show. Healthmasters.com is bringing you the show. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. We enjoy doing the show. It's a lot of fun. But Healthmasters.com is the name of our website, and we've got a free email that you can sign up for. It's a health newsletter. It comes to you two or three times a week. It's phenomenal. I think it's phenomenal. I mean, we have a lot of good articles in there. And it's healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters with an S. It is not healthmaster without an S. Oh, you don't know how I wish I would have taken healthmaster without an S when I got the domain 20 years ago. Because now Montel Williams, who's a friend of mine, I've done a show many, many times, you know, when he was on the radio, he basically had a blender out there. We're constantly getting phone calls about this stupid blender that he did that people want to return it to us, and we're not even the same company. So we're not that company, okay? We're Health Masters with an S. If you have a Montel Williams blender, don't call me, please. Call Montel. But now let me go to one of my stories here real quick, Austin. This is interesting because, you know, the thing about it is that we try to bring you the cutting edge stories every single day on the show and what's going on. This is interesting. Well, it's not really interesting. It's kind of frightening, actually. Nonconformity and free thinking have now been listed as mental illnesses. Now, you heard that right. Now, this is crazy, okay? This is interesting. Nonconformity and free thinking is now considered a newest addition to the DSM-IV Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. The manual identifies a new mental illness called Oppositional Defiant Disorder, or ODD, defined as an ongoing pattern of disobedient, hostile, and defiant behavior. Symptoms include questioning authority, negativity, defiance, argumentativeness, and easily being annoyed. You know, it kind of sounds like the fathers of our country back in 1776 would have all been diagnosed with this thing. It kind of sounds like pretty much all of my listeners would be diagnosed with all of this. The DMNS-IV is the manual used by psychiatrists to diagnose mental illnesses. And with each new edition, there are scores, literally dozens if not hundreds of new mental illnesses. Are we becoming sicker? Question mark. Is it getting harder to be mentally healthy? Question mark. Author of the DSM-IV says that it's because they're able to better identify these diseases today. Critics charge us because they have too much time on their hands. I think it's both. I think it's time on their hands and they want to make more money. New mental illness identified include arrogance, narcissism, above average creativity. Now, I'm going to repeat that. It's mentally ill now to have above average creativity, or cynicism, or antisocial behavior. In the past, these were so-called personality traits, but now they're diseases. And there are treatments available, more and more psychotropic drugs. All of this is a symptom for our overdiagnosing and over-medicating culture. In the last 50 years, the DSM-IV has gone from 130 to 357 mental illnesses. A majority of these are illnesses which affect children. Although the manual is an important diagnostic tool for the psychiatric industry, which I don't believe it is, it has also been responsible for social changes. The rise in ADD, bipolar disorder, depression in children is largely being caused because of this manual's diagnosed them as all being mentally ill. And it goes, a Washington Post article observed that if Mozart were born today because he was overly and above average creativity, he would be diagnosed with a mental disorder and he would be medicated into normality. See, this is George Orwell, 1984. We are here. We have lived long enough now to see it and to understand what we're in and what they're doing for us. Pretty soon, just like they've done with the vets now, they've passed mandatory legislation now that vets have to have for their vaccinations. They have no choice. Apparently, if they're going to go to the VA and they're going to get free medical care from the government, they're going to have to get their vaccinations. And I'm sure if they refuse their medications and their vaccinations, they're going to be diagnosed with this defiance disorder, and they're going to be labeled as mentally ill, and they're going to be told they can no longer have weapons. Now think about what I just said, Austin. If the vets are now going to refuse to get all of these crazy immunizations, which a lot of them don't want any more immunizations, then they're going to have oppositional defiance disorder diagnosis, which means now they're mentally ill. And now they're going to be forced to give up their weapons and not be allowed to have any type of weapon because they're mentally unstable. This is where this is going. This is George Orwell, Orwell, 1984, fleshing out before you. Now, this is nuts, but this is where it is now. We're going to have the pre-crime groups. We're all going to be given medicines that we have to take. These medicines are going to be labeled with some type of isotope, so they'll know when they're being ingested by you, by your DNA, and they're going to be radio recording or telegraphing to the authorities that you've had your medicine today or you haven't had your medicine today. And if you don't take your medicine, they're going to tell you basically, they're going to call you up and they're going to say, have you had your medicine today? If you've not, you need to go ahead and take it so we can basically see it on our screen. If you don't want to do that, we're going to send over the medics to help you take your medicine. And if you don't want to do that, we're going to have to remove you and make sure you're properly medicated. And you think, well, that'll never happen, Ted. I'm telling you, if this crap doesn't stop, that's where this is going. This is going to being forced medicated, forced vaccinated, forced everything. These Sabbateans are so set on destroying God's creation. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow night on Hagmann and what they're doing to do this. This is just part of it. It's the fluoride. It's the chemicals. It's the GMOs. Everything to destroy God's creation, they're doing it to us right now because they're so bent out of shape of what I'm going to tell you about tomorrow night. Now, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And sadly about it is the American sheeple, the American population, have gone to sleep. Germany, the people have gone to sleep. I talk to my relatives over there about the Muslim population. They tell me that I'm being negative and that the United States needs to take in their fair share, just like Germany is doing. And everybody needs to... Why don't we just stop bombing Syria? How about that? Why don't we leave Syria alone and get the heck out of the center of the Middle East? Why don't we do that? Why don't we let them stay there and not bomb them into rubble, bombing their water plants and bombing their power plants and making them have to leave? Why don't we just stop that crap and get the hell out of their country? How about that? Now, there's a bad word you can use for the day on TED. I've had it. This is so stupid that we're doing this, that we bombed the Middle East into rubble, and we wonder why they're pissed off at us and why they want to kill us. Well, maybe if they were bombing us every single day, there'd be enough old red boy, white boys, and everybody else boys in the deep south back here and all over the country that we would, then now we would be the people that would be the rebels. You know, if they come in and invade the United States, we become the rebels. We become the dissidents. We become the terrorists because we stand up for the rights of the United States and what it used to be. How in the world do we think we can bomb countries in the rubble, kill their women, kill their children, bomb their hospitals, do everything that to them, and we're not going to have problems and blowback from it? Are we smoking crack in Washington? No. Washington is not being run by the politicians. Washington is being run by the Sabbatean, Frankists, Kabbalists, Luciferians who run the international banking cartels. That's who runs this whole thing, and they're the ones that are calling the shots. And they're in direct league with Lucifer himself. These guys are wicked to the core, and that's what we're involved with. So there, now you got me all mad all about that stuff. When I start talking about it, I try to be nice about it. That's just the truth right there. That's what's going on.
Well, no, that's why we've discussed before about, you know, people need to start standing up to these vaccinations. You know, parents to the pediatricians, you know, a military guy to the vets. I think the bill still has to go through the House, or I think it already passed with the Senate, didn't it? For the mandatory
vaccination. That's right.
Yeah, I think it still has to go to the House. We'll see what happens with that. That's going to cause some serious issues, though, because the problem is, and see, they know they don't want these vets coming back from the Middle East doing these multiple tours, having the knowledge base that they do about IED construction, defensive maneuvers, aggressive, you know, as far as takedown of specific cities, defensive, you know, posturing against, you know, invasion. They know what these vets have in their mind. They're a reservoir of information, and they don't want any of these guys to have any access to weapons if anything happens here, because they know how effective and lethal they are because they've trained them to be like that. And it's funny you mentioned that as far as bombing over there, because you're right. If they decided to invade us, all of a sudden we would be the insurgents. We would be the ones that would be fighting them because they bombed us. But I do find it interesting, though, that Saudi Arabia and all the surrounding countries that are almost literally bordering Syria won't take any refugees in at all whatsoever. I find that pretty odd, and I think that's something that needs to change immediately. Instead of making countries like Germany and Sweden at the top of Europe and the United States all the way across the pond take in refugees, when Saudi Arabia is one of the biggest countries in the Middle East, and they won't take a single one in. So that definitely shows you something as far as what they want to be involved in, what they don't want to be involved in. And apparently they don't want to deal with any of these guys over there. But the vaccinations are a serious one.
Remember, these people, when they come into these countries, they immediately go on welfare. These are completely untrained people. They're not, they haven't worked in the BMW factory. Oh, that's right.
No.
There is no BMW. There is no BMW factory in Syria. Oh, okay. Well, how about Mercedes? Oh, that's right. There's not a Mercedes factory there either. Oh, okay. Well, there's oil fields. Okay. Gas fields. Okay. But most of these guys don't work at all. They're completely and totally Muslims who have no skill sets. That's why Saudi doesn't want them. That's why Qatar doesn't want them. That's why Yemen doesn't want them. That's why nobody wants them over there. So what they do this is Cloward and Piven on steroids. They're forcing these people into Germany to destroy Germany. Germany was setting up an alliance with Russia. Now, remember Cloward and Piven? They were they were at Columbia University back in the 60s, and they said the way you take down a republic that's a democracy, that's powerful, that has the ability to generate the kind of wealth that the United States had, that still has if we could restore the Constitution, the way you do it is through internal social programs. When you start paying more and more and more and more and more money out of the pocket of the people that are making the money, If you've got 100 people pulling a cart of two people, okay, you got a big cart, you know, it's 50 feet long, you got two people in it, you got 100 people pulling it, it's not a big burden. Everybody kind of just throws a rope over their shoulder and they pull it and whatever, man, who cares? That's what welfare is supposed to be like. 2-4% of the population, something's wrong, they're mentally challenged, they're injured, they're paralyzed, they were born with Down syndrome, or some other issue in which they can't physically work, they're in the cart, and the rest of humanity takes care of them, and they make sure they're taken care of. The churches used to do this with their tithes and their offerings before they started buying G5s and G6s and started doing all the other kind of crazy stuff they do with their money. I know one ministry in California that has almost $300 million in their petty cash slush account. They're worth billions of dollars with all the stations they own all over the world. But yet the guy gets on the radio. I mean, I saw on the TV one time and I saw him do it. He points his finger at the TV, you know, starts screaming at everybody and says, the reason you're not blessed is you're not sending us money. He says that on TV. I mean, the guy's like, he's dead now. May he rest in peace. I think he's going to rest in peace. Man, that guy's weird, dude. But the point is, I know all these people. I've been on a lot of their TV shows and TV sets. The craziest thing is they're not who you think they are. See, this is what we have to understand in the United States. When you've got 100 people pulling two people in a cart, it's okay. When you start getting 40 people pulling 40 people or 50 or 50, 40, 40 people pulling 60 people in a cart, suddenly it gets a little bit harder, a lot harder actually, when you're having 40 pulling 60. And all of a sudden now pretty soon you're going to have 60 pulling, you know, 40, you know, 20 pulling 80. And then pretty soon you're going to have 10 pulling 90. That's how social welfare programs destroy the ability to create wealth. Because the people finally say, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm getting in the cart. And that's what happens. And then the entire economy grinds to a halt. I like, what was her name? Ann Barnhart. I interviewed her on the Power Hour. I got to get on the show one time. She made one of the best analogies I've ever heard. She goes, if you got a 747 and she goes, and it's coming in for a crash landing and the landing gear won't go down. And she goes, and the problem is you've got yourself a pilot in there who really doesn't know what he's doing. And he's only flown 20 hours in the 747. Chances are it's going to have a really bad ending. And she goes, now if you got the ultimate stud jacked up pilot who's got 10,000 hours in a 747, knows how to take it in on a glide ratio, knows how to make it land without any tires or wheels or anything, and he's done it 100 times in the simulator, he's going to be pretty good. And she said very simply, she said, who do we have in Washington? We've got an economy that's like a 747 and the engines are turned off, and it's got to land. It ain't going to be pretty because we got Obama in the White House. You know, he's not the stud pilot. You know, it's not going to happen, okay? Nobody wants a soft landing for the United States. They want the United States broken up into pieces. That's what they want. They want us broken up into FEMA groups. That's what they want. They don't want the U.S. to continue the way it has because it's too difficult to control. That's why these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Rothschild bankers, read your history. They funded both sides of the Civil War in the United States. It was to split the country. It was to destroy the country. And then Lincoln started printing his greenback.
and getting rid of the Rothschild-controlled currency, and they ended up using John Wilkes Booth, who was a Rothschild agent, according to many historians, to kill Lincoln because he was going to get rid of it. He was not going to put a central bank back in. And it wasn't until that blithering idiot who was morally compromised, Woodrow Wilson, in 1913, signed the Federal Reserve Act and gave him the right to put us back into debt bondage again, which is what they've done now. See, this is what's going on. These same guys are running the world behind the scenes right now. They're the ones that are in charge of all of this mess and doing all of this mess. And George Soros is being funded by all of this mess and probably got his fortune from all of this mess. And he's the one who's the front man for all of this. And he's the one who's been funding the Black Lives Matter and all those groups that go around protesting all over the United States. And he's also the one who's diametrically opposed to the borders in Europe and want the Europeans to take in all these refugees. They don't want this group of people in Germany who were Germans anymore. They don't want that. They want these countries to be broken down through Cloward and Piven so they can be controlled much more easily. They want a slave race, and on top of that, they want most of us dead. According to their own projections, out of 7-8 billion people on the planet, they want the amount down to 500 million. Because that way they can control us more easily, because that's like it was back in the feudal days, and they can make it, it's a lot easier when they have the serfs and the slaves and the ruling lords. That's what they want it all coming back to. The basically our farm that we have on this planet has gotten too populated with the animals where they think that's what we are, and they want to cull the herd. That's what they're doing through the GMOs, and I'm going to talk about it in detail tomorrow night, how they're doing it in the astral physics plane and how they're killing us all like this. I mean, you guys are going to be blown away. I've spent 3 months putting this show together for tomorrow night. Go ahead, Austin. I'm rambling.
No, it's all good. But no, Germany's definitely in a pickle right now. I know you're going over to Europe here shortly, and we're definitely going to be having some interesting information to figure out what's going on over there. But I mean, German hospitals now are being forced to hire security guards now that the refugees have come in, because they're actually physically attacking, biting, and spitting the nurses. There's an article that just came out. Germany has been forced to hire security guards after numerous incidences in which migrants physically attack nurses while they're receiving their free health care. Hospital in Sigmaringen took the precaution after 40 attacks on nurses in just September alone, with nursing manager Sylvia Stark revealing the staff were totally distressed. Whenever the nurse is working in the emergency room alone, she is accompanied by a security guard now. The hospital is bearing the full brunt of the cost to hire the security guards, and attacks by migrants are not the only strain currently being put on the German healthcare system. Hospitals, clinics, and emergency rooms across Germany are being filled to capacity with migrants suffering maladies of all kinds, and medical personnel, including thousands of volunteers, are increasingly complaining of burnout. Diseases that have not been seen in Germany for decades are being brought into this country by asylum seekers. Some of the ailments, this goes on from Dr. Michael Melter, says some of the ailments I have not seen for 20 to 25 years, and many of my younger colleagues have never actually even seen these diseases. The cost of holding migrants in quarantine when they arrive with contagious diseases such as tuberculosis is astronomical, with German taxpayers are footing a 12,000 euro bill per migrant per month now, and apparently they're completely running out of places to quarantine all these migrants that have these contractible diseases that are in super contagious. Like I said, they've never even seen in Germany for the last 20, 25 years. I mean, stuff hasn't been around since the 80s in Germany. It's gone. I mean, it's eradicated. They know how to not get it. But now we have all these migrants coming in here in waves, by the millions now, with absolutely no regard for any type of, you know, societal laws. And like we were talking a week ago, they're going through the streets and they're just defecating on the streets. They don't even care. Stealing stuff, ripping through all kinds of, you know, stores, stealing food, and this is how they're acting. This is how they show their appreciation to us, I guess, when we let them come into a country and give them free everything. It's pretty sad, actually.
You know, Austin, there's several movies I like. Okay.
Yeah.
I like The Outlaw Josie Wales. I like The Patriot. I like Gladiator. I like the Godfather trilogy, because it explains what happens so much with the mafia and the drug running. I also like the movie The Goodfellas, if you could watch it on TV with the languages edited. And then I like the one that Al Pacino did. I forgot what it was called, in which he played the devil.
And Advocate.
The Devil's Advocate. Now, but you have to watch that one on TV because it's filthy otherwise, okay? You got to watch it edited. And there's reasons I like all of these movies. The Devil's Advocate, because it shows what freedom of will does and how you solve, all you have to do is say, no, I'm not going to do it. The Godfather, I've already explained. The Patriot, because it goes into detail. I also like Last of the Mohicans, because it talks about the French and Indian Wars, which actually led up to the Revolutionary War. And when Mel Gibson's talking about the French and Indian Wars, that's what was all going on, with the Last of the Mohicans. And that's why these guys were battle-hardened soldiers in the United States when they went against England from the French and Indian Wars. But we'll stop all that. Let's talk about the outlaw Josie Wales. Now you all are thinking, what in the world is Ted talking about? Now he's been studying too much and he's lost it. Well, that's probably true. But here's why I like the outlaw Josie Wales. There's so many great one-liners in that book, in that movie, that is just incredible movie. And it's one of Clint Eastwood's, probably his finest movie. And what I love, one sign he's doing when they're looking for Josie Wales, and they say, this isn't a hard man to follow. He leaves a trail of dead bodies everywhere he goes. Remember that line, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You and I used to watch that all the time when you were a little kid. That's what our foreign policy is like. It's not difficult to figure out where the United States has been. We leave a trail of dead bodies everywhere we go, and we think it's okay. I mean, it's not okay. None of this is okay. I mean, it's easy to figure out we've been in Syria. There's a trail of dead bodies. It's easy we've been in Iraq. There's a trail of dead bodies. It's easy that we've been in Afghanistan. It's a trail of dead bodies. It's easy to see we were in Egypt. We've left a trail of dead bodies. It's easy to see where we've been. Where we go, we leave a trail of dead bodies. And the people in America have completely absolved themselves in the United States from any culpability to these Syrian refugees. We are the ones that are bombing their water treatment plants. We are the one bombing their electrical plants over there. And the mainstream media won't even talk about it, Austin, because it's too negative. They don't want to talk because it messes up the narrative of the American might. I talked to you last week in the show about how the United States uses flyovers at football games and all this other kind of stuff with these jets. I mean, I was at the Florida State game this past weekend, and I remember I was watching it, and some F-16 Falcon they two different planes. They flew over us, you know, probably at 400, 500 feet, whatever the minimum was. And I mean, they were just racking. They were going so fast. And I thought to myself, you know, this is just to show everybody how powerful the United States military is. And by golly, it shows you when you see that stuff, you realize how powerful we really are. The most powerful country ever in the history of this planet. I mean, you and I were at a show when we talked about this before in the air, Austin. We saw an F-22 Raptor take off, pick up his landing gear like at 50 feet off the ground, and go into a vertical, full throttle, vertical ascent and shook the ground for a half mile in all directions. I mean, what we have and the abilities that we have, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We start talking about scalar weapons on the show with Hagman. It's mind-boggling what we can do. But the problem is, we leave a trail of dead bodies everywhere we go. We're not walking in love because our country has been usurped by a gang of criminals, by a mafia takeover, by organized crime. It's taken us over, and it does whatever it wants to do with the United States and with the great armaments that we have in this country. I mean, we're the number one arms dealer in the world. We supply a big portion of the world with the ability to kill other countries. It's unbelievable, Austin. And we all think it's okay in the United States because we don't really know what's going on. I talked to a mega church pastor the other day, and his wife came on the phone. They've been friends of ours for 10 years. This is a huge church, 18,000 members. And they were on the phone talking to me, and we were talking about what happened and what's going on in Syria. And then the wife goes, well, I haven't heard of any of this. Is this on the mainstream news? I mean, why haven't I heard of any of this? None of this is even being talked about. Ted, can you send me some links? I've not heard of any of this. And I said to her, her name's Nicole. I said, Nicole, look, I said, here's the deal. Just because you haven't heard about it doesn't mean it's not true. And I said, that's what the alternative media is all about. But of course, alternative media hosts now, I guess we're all going to be diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder because we don't want to follow the narrative. I mean, it's ridiculous. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, no, you're definitely right on that. Now, I was mentioning another one, too, article. We can touch brief on it, though. We've talked about it a lot again, is that Gardasil vaccine. There's another case where the basically a 14-year-old kid died the day after.
This time it's a boy.
It was Joel. Yes, it was a boy. Mm-hmm. The boy got injected with it. And the Dr. Sinhang Lee, MD, stated that the second dose of Gardasil finally caused a fatal hypotension. In this case, on the day of vaccination, there was no other plausible cause for death of Joel Gomez at the night of August 19, 2013. Records show that Joel Gomez, the deceased, was a 14-year-old healthy boy who had regular visits to the pediatrician's office for periodic checkups since birth, showing no evidence of any pre-existing health issues, specifically no evidence of cardiac abnormalities, psychological disorders, or substance abuse, basically leading to believe that the direct cause of his death was a Gardasil vaccine. It doesn't get any clearer than that, man. And I had somebody else ask me the other day, actually they called me, they had two daughters, one of them is a little bit younger, she has not had that shot yet, the other one has already had the shot, and she's having severe problems now with Crohn's disease. Now they're also saying that she has lupus, and the family, the dad really didn't know what to do. He's like, I don't know what we're supposed to do anymore. He goes, my first daughter hasn't had any issues yet. She hasn't had any vaccine. My other daughter's been injected with Gardasil. Now she's having all these health problems. And I gave some recommendations.
These are called autoimmune diseases. I'm going to cover this in detail tomorrow night on Hagman in the second hour. This show tomorrow night, I'm hyping it pretty hard because it's taken me months to put together. And we're going to air it again next week on this broadcast on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But this broadcast on Hagman and Hagman tomorrow, I'm going to unwrap for you the mysteries of autoimmune diseases, and I'm going to tell you why they're happening and why the body is attacking itself and why all these diseases, why you have these advanced forms of rheumatoid arthritis, all of these crazy things with lupus and all this other stuff that's going on, and why everybody has these inflammatory conditions. I'm going to tell you why it happens tomorrow in detail on the Hagman Show tomorrow night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Austin, thanks for being with me on again today. Thanks for co-hosting the show with me. Friends, thank you. Forgive me for my bad language a little bit today. I get sometimes I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And so that's just how it works. So by the grace of God, any of us are here. And so please stay tuned for our shows. We'll be back on live again next. We'll be back live tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon.
I'll be live tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, Austin will be here live. So a lot of you guys probably like Austin better than you do me, so I'm happy about that too. He's a lot more stable than I am. He's a lot more uniform. So we love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And we'll talk to you tomorrow and tomorrow night.